mention a conversation that I was having just recently. Blessed to live in Muncie and in Wesley Hills near Rabbi Jacobson. And we have very close friends, Hudavin in the Kehillah, where Rabbi Jacobson serves as the Rav, and Orach Chaim, which is just a tremendous Makom Torah, Makom Tefillah, a place of Ruchnius, a place of just enormous Avas Yisrael. And this family, among many other families also, they said, you just cannot believe the way that this shul in Rabbi Jacobson has galvanized the entire area. You'll go to the shul on Shavuos night, and it's just hundreds of people, men, women, children, up learning all night. And Rabbi Jacobson has had that effect on the community in Muncie. And the last number of decades, really wherever he's been in so many different capacities, both in Chabad, through the larger religious world, the non-religious world, he's become known as an international speaker with a bekiyas in Kabbalah, Chassidus, Gemara, the normal Rishonim and Poskim. But all of that is presented in an incredibly erudite fashion, with humor, with insight, with thoughtfulness. And we're truly blessed that Rabbi Jacobson is here this evening to share some Divrei Chizuk now a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson.
Thank you. Everybody knows Everybody knows the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that Rabbe or some Agoidus Rava, before he started the Shir, he would always begin with a Milsa de B'dichasa, or Batchi Rabbanan, he would begin with an anecdote so that the rabbis would laugh, and then he would begin the Shir. Then he would be Peseach B'Shmaitza. Why did Rabbi always begin with a Milsa de B'dichasa, you know? What do you think? Why did he begin with an anecdote? So maybe he wanted everybody to be on time. They knew if they come late, they'll miss the joke. That may be one reason. Another reason was to open up people's hearts. So I'll follow that example. They tell an anecdote that there was... Oh, thank you. Water? They tell an anecdote that there was a American fat. That's what I'm going to talk about. You'll see. Talk about broken situations. Okay. There was this American family that traced its lineage back to the pilgrims who arrived first to this great country. Their name was Smith, and they bragged about their Gentile yichus all the way back to people who came on the Mayflower in the 1600s. And this was a great source of pride for this family, and they decided at one point to write a book about the yichus and the history of this family. So they hired a researcher to do the research and to prepare a manuscript. Lo and behold, in the midst of the research, he comes across a horrible fact. And that is that they had a great uncle, his name was Clarence Smith. And he was executed on the electric chair because of a terrible crime that he performed. Was tut man? What do you do with this information? In our circles, it's not a problem. You just delete it from the book and you rewrite history. It's not a problem because history, we know, is his story. And there doesn't have to be an allegiance to anything. But some people don't have that expansive way of thinking. So they have to remain accurate to history. So what do you do? To delete the fact that he existed is not true. To put it in would simply cast a stain, excuse me, and confer shame on the name of the family. So the researcher says, leave it up to me. I will put in all the information, and yet it will be very respectful to the family. with bating breath, they buy the book when it's published. And they look at the index and they find the name of Clarence and they go to that page 78, to see how this man wrote about their great uncle. And this is what he said. Great uncle Clarence Smith occupied a chair in a very important governmental institution. He was tied down to this position with the strongest of cords, shackles, and ties. And despite efforts and desires, he could not leave his post, where he remained till his last breath. His death came as a sudden shock. So you see, the same facts can be told, but seen from very different perspectives. You just know how, you have to know how to present it. Why do I share this with you? Excuse me, I have a stickle cough, you'll forgive me. I want to begin with a very perplexing pasuk. We say the pasuk very, very often, and we're now going to say it soon every day. But when you think about it, it's really perplexing. In the Mizmor Shir Hamalos Mima'amakim Krosicha Hashem, David HaMelech says, Ki imcha haslicha, leman tivore. Translation: with you there is forgiveness, leman tivore, so that you should be feared. With you, you forgive, so that you should be feared. Ask the Mefarshim, the Eben Ezra, Eben Yechiyah, other Mefarshim of Tehillim, the juxtaposition, the sequence seems senseless. What would you tell somebody? This guy, you got to be afraid of. You know why? Because he forgives. Doesn't work that way. Say, this guy is unforgiving. He's a kapden. He's not a mevater. He will demand an exact payment. Oh, this person you don't start up with. A guy who forgives, who's easily forgiving, on the contrary, you don't have to fear them. So what's pshat? Ki imcha aslicha, you made sure to forgive. Why? So that people should fear you. Leman tivare. Abyssal modna, no? Strange. Agutakasha, right? Leman tivare. Fakert. You say you forgive so people should love you. People should cherish you. People should like you. Not people should fear you. Tivare comes from the word yira. This is the question that Reni the Rishonim ask. Okay, I'm going to change the subject for a few minutes. There's a famous Gemara in Meseches Chagige, the second Perek, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says. The rabbis taught and shared the following story. A Maisa that Acher, you all know who Acher was from all the hundreds of Tanoim and Amiroyim in the time of Mishnah and Gemara. We only know of one who, what they call today, became OTD. Went off the derech. But this was not Stam, a regular fellow. This was one of the Gdoilei Hador, a colleague of Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe of Reb Meir. The Gemara says on Reb Meir in Meseches Erev and Daf Yud Gimel that Lo Yordu Chachamim Lamoid Al Soiv Daitai. That's why they didn't make the halacha like Reb Meir, because they couldn't understand his depth. And who was his teacher? Elisha ben Avuya. But his reputation became so blemished that they stopped calling him by his name. Till today, we call him Acher. And the Gemara says why he got that name. Agan Samaisa with Chilul Shabbos. A woman sees him plucking a grass on Shabbos. And she says, Elisha ben Avuya? He says, no, it's Acher. It's somebody else. She couldn't believe that Elisha ben Avuya would be Mechalul Shabbos, Koitzer, one of the Lamatas Malachas. He says, it's Acher. That name stuck. I'm somebody else. I'm an alien. Reb Meir was the only one who continued learning Torah from him. So the Gemara tells a story. It was Shabbos, and Elisha ben Avuya was horseback riding on Shabbos. Now, horseback riding on Shabbos is not an Issur min HaTorah, but it's one of the Isurei Shavus. You know, the Mishnah in Beitzah, the end of Lamed Vav. Ein Reichvin al Asus. You don't go horseback riding, not Shabbos, not Yom Tov. Rashi says, Shema Yachtuch Zmoire. So therefore, this was a Shavus. Elisha ben Avoy is horseback riding on Shabbos. Of course, while he's horseback riding, he's giving a shiur. Who follows him? Reb Meir wants to hear the Shabbos afternoon shiur as his Reb is horseback riding. So Reb Meir is running, or jogging, or walking fast, and Elisha ben Avoy is on the horse. Elisha ben Avoy at some point turns to Reb Meir and says, Chazor boch, you got to go back, because I counted the footsteps of the horse, and we have reached Tchum Shabbos. We left the city. We went 2,000 amas outside of the city. Atkan Tchum Shabbos, you got to go back. Elisha, Reb Meir, beseeches his teacher. He says, you also go back. And he doesn't only mean go back geographically. He also means go back existentially. So Elisha ben Avoyi says, I can't go back. You know why? Kvar shamati me'achorei hapargut. I heard a voice from behind the heavenly curtain. Shuvu bonim shoivovim chutz me'ach. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, return children who went astray besides ach. Hashem told me, I'm not welcome back. That's the story of Bavli. Chagiga daf tesvav. I ask you, Tayyid Talmidim, how do you understand such a baska? The Rambam says in Hilchus Tshuva in Peirik Gimel, Ein lecha davar ha'oimed b'fnei ha'tshuva. Afilu, the Rambam's lashon, afilu kofar bi'ikir kol yoma v'shav b'achroina. A person denies God his whole life and he does tshuva then. Menashe melech Yisrael, who was a king for 55 years, the Gemara says in Yevamos Memtes, he murdered his Zayda. And you know who Menashe Zayda was? His grandfather was Yeshaya Hanavi. The Gemara says in Brachas that Chizkiya Melech married Yeshaya Hanavi's daughter. Chizkiya had a son Menashe, and he kills his grandfather. Motsasi b'Megillah star. Menashe can do tshuva, and he does. Elisha ben Avoya can't do tshuva. Who ever heard of a statement, everybody is welcome chutz me'acher? The worst Rishayim could do tshuva. Nothing closes the path of tshuva. Chazal say it in numerous places. Suddenly here, no tshuva for you. What happened? In Yerushalmi, you have the same story. Also Maseches Chagiga, with a slight change. It happened that it was Shabbos. Reb Meir was giving a shiur in Beis Medrash. Somebody came in and said, your Rebbe is horseback riding outside. What would you do if you were Reb Meir? You would probably continue the shiur. Reb Meir stopped the shiur, and he went to his shiur. He went to his Rebbe, and he followed him, the same Maisa. But his Rebbe told him something, another detail. He said, I was horseback riding, b'yoyim ha-kippurim shecholiyas b'Shabbos. I went horseback riding on Yom Kippur, which was also Shabbos. Where did I go horseback riding? You know where? Not Montana, not Kentucky, not upstate New York. You know where? On the Har Habayis in Beis Kodesh HaKadosh. I guess he wanted a good slope before Adrian lowered Har Habayis by 1,000 feet and flattened it like you see it now. Har Habayis then was a real mountain. It looked like a real mountain. So he's horseback riding on the Har Habayis. Remember, Elisha ben Avoya, like his friend Rabbi Akiva, lived at the end of Bayis Sheni. They saw the Churban. So he's horseback riding on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, on the Har Habayis, in the place of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he hears a baskel. And the baskel says, Shuvu bonim shayvavim, chutz me Elisha ben Avoya. So on Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, he's horseback riding. And this is the message he gets. How do we reconcile these stories with the Yesoid Gadol in all Sifrei Halacha, in all Sifrei Machshava, in all Sifrei Musar, in all Sifrei Hashkafa, in all Sifrei Nister, that Shuva ultimately triumphs against all evil and negative behavior, even the worst of the worst? One exception, Elisha ben Avoya, Acher. Tayyid Abachrim, I want to ask you one more question. Everybody knows the Siyum of Maseches Yuma, the last Mishnah. Even if you don't know it from the Mishnah, you know it from the song. Amar Reb Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem metarim umi metareschem avichem shabashamayim. How fortunate are you, Yisrael? Before whom are you cleansed and who cleanses you? Your Father in heaven. What's the proof? He brings two psukim. A pasuk from Yecheskel, v'zarakti aleichem mayim tahirim, and a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Now Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Mikveh comes from the word tikvah, Mikveh, kivinu, zeh Hashem kivinu, hope. Yesh tikvah. Yesh tikvah l'acharisech. Also from Yirmiyah. But you know it's from the song. Okay, got it. So Mikveh Yisrael Hashem really means the hope of Yisrael is the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Rabbi Akiva teaches Mikveh from the word Mikveh. Like Mikveh Mayim in Bereshis, a gathering of water, a Mikveh. So Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Mikveh of Yisrael is Hashem. What Pshat Hashem is our Mikveh? Ma Mikveh Metayres HaTmeim, HaFakadosh Baruch Hu Metayres Yisrael. A Mikveh purifies the Tmeim, Hashem is our Mikveh, purifies the Jewish people. Ashreichem Yisrael. I want to ask you a question. How long did Rabbi Akiva live after Moshe Rabbeinu, you know? Anybody knows? Ah, okay, Yeshiva Bachim don't know these things. It's fine. So I'll tell you. Yeshiva Bachim are not allowed to know these things, Chas v'Shalom. May mean you look in Tanakh, you know, a little Divrei Yimei Yisrael, Sepasnash. So, but it's good to know. It's good to know a little bit, put things in context. You should know which year Rebbe Akiva Eger was born. You should know where the Pnei Yeshua lived. You should know what the Noida Yehuda did for a living, etc. It's not a bad idea. Okay. So, Rabbi Akiva lived. Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. Jews go into Eretz Yisrael. You have 400 years without a Beis HaMikdash. Another 400 years with a Beis HaMikdash. You have a Churban, and then you have a second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva is at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. So you're dealing with a millennium and a half after Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not a small span of time. They once asked a Chinese politician, what's his view of the American and French Revolution? So he said, it's too early to tell. But 1,500 years is not such a small span of time. So Rabbi Akiva speaks at the end of Bayis Sheni, and he says something. Ashreichem Yisrael. You're lucky, guys. Why are you lucky? Look who cleanses you. I'll prove it. And he finds two psukim in Yecheskel and Yirmiyah. One second. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva is saying a novel idea. It's a chiddush. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. What's the chiddush? The whole Yiddishkeit, the whole Tanakh is moli bedavar zeh, that the Ribbono Shel Olam cleanses the Jewish people. And he has to find a pasuk in Yirmiyah. What happened to the pasuk in Acharei Mois? Ki bayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem letahir eschem mikol chatoiseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. Which that's the pasuk that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah brings in the same Mishnah. Those words, lifnei Hashem titaru. So he found a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and he takes mikveh, and from a mikveh, which means hope, he turns it into a mikveh, which means water, and he has a whole limud that Hashem cleanses you. You have to go to a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and this is what you discovered 1,500 years after Matan Torah, that Hashem cleanses you. How many psukim are there already in Chumash? Never mind the Vim and Ksuvim. With this theme. Ubikashtim Hashemas Hashem Alekecha Matzalzik Hesidur Shenu V'shaftad Hashem Alekecha V'shamata B'koylim Yiyin Edachachem B'ktzir Hashemayim V'sham. The theme of tshuva, of return, of cleansing, of transformation, of atonement, of mechila, of kapara. This is one of the most frequent themes in the history of Judaism from the beginning. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva? In Mishnayis, every word is bediyuk, as precise as the Rambam famously says in his introduction to the Pirush of Mishnayis. Loshen Kotzer V'Koylul Inyonim Rabbim. If you look at this Mishnah carefully, you'll notice that there are two words that seem superfluous and unnecessary, really excessive. Namely, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, Ma Mikveh Metayres HaTmeim, Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Metayres Yisrael. Chevra, which two words here are superfluous? Very good. Esat Meim. We all know that a mikveh is metayr tmeim. Who's a mikveh metayr tahirim? A tahir doesn't need tara. Of course a mikveh is metayr tmeim. It's true, for the song you need those two words. If you would take out those two words, ma mikveh metayr, Okay, you're going to get stuck. But if I'm not mistaken, you could look this up on Google, the Mishnah was written before the song. So I have a hunch. Esat Meim is superfluous. Ma mikveh metayer. We know that a mikveh is metayer tmeim. That's why you need tara. Afa kadosh baruch hu. Hashem is a mikveh. A mikveh is metayer. Of course, tmeim. If you need tara, baruch hu metayer sisro. And the Mishnayos, there's never a word that is extra. You boys who learn Gemara, and you know what the Gemara does with an extra word of Mishnayos. What's the esat meim? Okay, so we have three issues that we're dealing with. Ki imcha slicha l'man tivore, chutz meyachir elisha ben avuya, and ma mikveh metayer satmei ma'avgadosh baruch hu metayer es Yisrael. I'm going to bring up one more issue, and then we'll try to present the explanation. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch. There's a pasuk in Parshas Emor from Rosh Hashanah. You come to Yom Kippur, to Sukkos. So the Medrash asks why it's called Bayoim Harishon. It should be called the 15th day of the month. And for the Medrash, you know the answer? Medrash Rabba Emer. Rishon L'Cheshben Avoinus. Sukkos, the first day Sukkos, is the first day when Hashem calculates sins. What's Pshat? Why is it Rishon L'Cheshben Avoinus? So Balabatish, the Pshat is, simple Pshat is, and this is brought, because Yom Kippur, everybody does tshuva. Between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, people don't have time to sin, because they're asik b'lulavay, v'zeh asik b'sukkasi. People are busy, they're stressed out. You got to build a sukkah, you got to buy an estrik. So when is the first time to sin? The first time of Sukkos, you come into the sukkah, you got nothing to do. So you got a good juicy Lashon Hara, a good juicy Rechilas. So Rishon L'Cheshben Avoinus. The first day of Sukkos, now the sinning starts all over again. Because between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, the slate was clean. But you understand that this is a pesah, a very not batamta answer. There's something off to say that the Torah should describe Sukkos, the first day Sukkos, as the first day. Why? Because it's the first day that we sin. Maybe there's some Jews that go into the sukkah and don't sin in the sukkah. Maybe instead of gossiping, they'll sing some zmiris. They'll say some divrei Torah. They'll have an interesting, inspiring conversation about Yom Tov, about Hilchos Sukkah, about good asik, about good achis, about lovud. Every sukkah has something to talk about. You were sure they're going to talk Lashon Hara? Why do you have to call the first day sukkahs? It's almost like predict failure. Expect failure. That the Torah has no better name for the first day of sukkahs than Rishon L'Cheshben Avoinus. What happened to the Kol Yisrael B'cheskas Kashrus saying, as the Rambam famously says in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh and Perek Beis? No. That's why we do call Sukkos the first day. Okay, genug with the kashas. Let's get to some tirutzim, because my time is up soon. Let's start with the acher. We ask a simple question. Everyone could do tshuva besides him. The Shalosh says, the Shalosh HaKadosh says, he didn't have to listen to the Baskel. You know why? Because the Gemara says, Kol ma sha'im alecha balabayis haseh, chutz mitzeh. You come to a house, whatever the balabayis tells you, you do. Take off your shoes, take off your shoes. Don't eat like you usually eat. Listen. Keep your mouth shut when you eat. We don't have to see what your insides look like. Listen. Chutz mitzeh. The Balabayas tells you, leave, you don't have to listen. So the Shalosh says, the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Balabayas. Everything you have to listen. He says, say, I don't want a relationship with you. Get out of my house, you don't have to listen. Shalosh says he didn't have to listen. Ay, Hashem says, chutz meyache. Okay, Balabayas said, say, I don't want to leave, I want to be with you. Geshma kavart. But I'm asking another question. How did the Baskel say such a thing? I'm not asking if he should have listened or not. How does the Baskel say this? Whose Baskel was it? So Hashem is Baskel. Who's Baskel? Besides the fact, anybody here ever heard of Baskel on Yom Kippur? Shechali is B'Shabbos? Most of you don't go horseback riding on Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shabbos, right? Certainly not on the Harabayas. MS? And yet I never heard of Baskel on Yom Kippur. I hear voices when I speak, but I'm not a prophet. It's not coming from Baskel, it's other voices. Elisha ben Avuya, the great Apikoidus, is hearing a Baskel from Shamayim on Yom Kippur while he's horseback riding. Not bad. Azakiruv. Such a spiritual. Who hears Baskels? I know Jews who are fasting for 70 years, they sit in Kitlach, they don't hear Baskels. They hear a Baskel, maybe go eat. I'm starving, a cup of water, maybe they hear such voices. Baskels. This is a Psakiruv. What does the Baskel tell him? By the way, you're not welcome. Which is another question, because he wasn't planning to do tshuva. He was horseback riding. So why are you telling him you're not welcome? He wasn't planning to come home. It's like you walk over to somebody in Shul Farnan and said, by the way, you're not welcome to my house. He wasn't planning to come. Why are you telling him you're not welcome? Elisha ben Avuya didn't come and say, I want to do tshuva. He wasn't interested. He was hanging out. He was having a good time horseback riding on Yom Kippur. There's a Baskel. By the way, if you're having a machshava zora to do tshuva, you should know you're not welcome. Favas, Faven, who's talking about it? So in the Chumash Drashas, there's a drasha that the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Zecherno Levracha, gave at a convention of Mizrahi, Apoel HaMizrahi, I think 1960 or 1961. It first came out in Yiddish. Today they reprinted it in Hebrew. It was called Fear Drashas. It was printed in 62, I think, in Atlantic City it was, the convention. Atlantic City was a little different than today. So he spoke there about the situation in Israel with the government. Fascinating drasha. So the Rav said a very powerful idea about this. He said, in Bavli and Yerushalmi, there's one difference. The Baskel in Bavli is Shuvu Bonim Shevavim Chutz Me'ache. The Baskel in Yerushalmi is Shuvu Bonim Shevavim Chutz Me'Elisha Ben Avuya. What was the Baskel? Did the Baskel say Shuvu Bonim Chutz Me'ache? Or did the Baskel say Shuvu Bonim Chutz Me'Elisha Ben Avuya? Which one? The Yerushalmi gives one version. The Bavli and Chagiga Tesvav gives another version. Yerushalmi Chagiga Perik Beis Halacha Aleph, a different version. Chutz Me'Elisha Ben Avuya. Now normally in Halacha we say when there's an argument in Bavli and Yerushalmi, who wins? Halacha ke Bavli. The Rosh says in Baba Kama, because Bavli was Basroi, was written 100 years after the Yerushalmi, they had an opportunity to dissect and analyze the Yerushalmi. We're not dealing with halacha, we're dealing with agada. But nonetheless, Rav Soloveitchik tainid halacha ke Bavli. The story is like Bavli. The Baskel said, Shuvu bonim shevavim chutz me'ach. So why does the Yerushalmi say, Shuvu bonim shevavim chutz me'elisha ben Avuya? The answer is, this was the tragedy of the man named Elisha ben Avuya. You see? What the Baskel was saying was, Shuvu bonim shevav. Shuvu bonim shevav. And let me now try to connect it with something else. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Yosef went out of prison on Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah Dafir Aleph. How do we know? Tiku b'choyde shayfer b'kesel liyom chagenu ki choykli yisrolu mishpat alakei Yaakov eduz b'hoysef somoy b'tzeisei al eretz mitzvah. Mi beis ha'asurim Yatzah Yilimlech. Swasemes has Gansa Toidus on this, why Yosef comes out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody could come out of prison on Rosh Hashanah. Why was Yosef named Yosef? You remember? What did Rachel say when she named Yosef in Vayetze? Yosef Hashem Li Bein Ache. Hashem should give me another son. Now I want to ask you, if you came to a therapist, and your therapist says, why is your name Yosef? You say, because when I was born, my mother said, oh, I'm hoping for another boy. What do you think that does to self-confidence? Why don't you name Yosef for him? Why are we naming him for hopefully a future brother? Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, that's his name. I have to deal with the fact that my mother really wants another one. That's awesome. What's pshat? Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. give a name that describes the person. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel, Reb Meir Havadayek Bishma. A name is significant. The Maggid of Mizrich says that the name is a channel for the chiyus of the neshama to this person. That's what Mishabedachs we do with names. We change names sometimes, add names. Why not give a name of Yosef? Yosef. No, I'm waiting for a new boy. Yosef Hashem Libanach. The pshat is, Rachel was really defining Yosef. She was defining Yosef's unique mission, Yosef's unique opportunity. Come back to Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was one of the G'dayli Hador. One day, to quote Rav Soloveitchik, a Shvaitze dibuk is a rein in zayn nefesh. Like a black, you know what a dibuk is? It was a euphemism. A black dibuk, so to speak, goes into his soul. And he decides he's not part of the Jewish people anymore. He becomes an accomplice of the Romans. And the Gemara describes in Chagiga, Yerushalmi, and Bavli what he did. He became a real accomplice of the Romans. It's Yom Kippur, and it's Shabbos, and he's horseback riding on the Harabayas. Why is he horseback riding on the Harabayas? Why not in the Swiss Alps? Who goes horseback riding? Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and the Harabayas. What does that mean? That's not a L'tayavinik. That's a L'hachasnik. You have nowhere better to go horseback riding on Yom Kippur, Shacholis, B'Shabbos, and the Harabayas. So he's going there because he's connected. But he's connected in a negative way. I once heard from Rabbi Adin Steinzel, Rabbi Adin Evin Yisrael, that he was walking Shabbos morning to shul. He lives in the German colony, Moshava Germanit, and he was walking to the old city, to the Rova, to Davin Shachris. In the morning, Shabbos, he meets an Israeli, very left-wing liberal artist. And you know, Israelis know how to be left-wing. Not like Americans. Americans, even left-wingers, are shvacha left-wingers. Jews know how to be left-wingers. Jews know how to be atheists. As a priest once told me, Jews are atheists with religious fervor. So, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Where are you going, Rebbe Adin? I'm going to Bet Knesset, and I'm going to the shul. He says, where are you going? So he says, there's one place in Yerushalayim you could still get bacon and eggs. So the covered Shabbos, he goes to this place to eat chazer Shabbos morning. He says, wow, what do you do for Shabbos lunch? He says, there's one place you can have shrimp and lobster. So the covered Shabbos, he goes there. And what's for Shalosh Shudas? Shalosh Shudas is a place you can have real Yayin Nesach. So he goes there to have Yayin Nesach. Tried to get under his skin. Adin Steinsaltz is a clever man. He says, Ani mekanebecha, I'm jealous of you. He says, why are you jealous of me? He says, because you're so passionate about Shabbos. I wish I would be so passionate about Shabbos. I have to say, for me, Shabbos comes, Shabbos goes. For you, Shabbos is so meaningful. You can't just sit home and watch television. You can't just sit on your couch and read a novel. You have to go find bacon, shrimp, lobster, yayin esach. So he says, you know, my friend, gam ata shomer Shabbat. Ata shomer Shabbat b'ofan acher, aval gam ata shomer Shabbat. I'm afraid to tell you, you also observe Shabbos. You do it maybe in an original way, but you also observe Shabbos. He told me the story. He said the Yid became a shomer Shabbos. Because he realized the truth that sometimes the depth of hate comes from the depth of love. There's nobody you could love as much as your mother, and there's nobody you can hate as much as your mother. I hope you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you do, you do. There's nobody who can get under your skin like your mother. Because you were under her skin for 9 months, I hate to break the news to you. You'll never be able to deny it, as much as therapy as you got to do. But we are connected to our mother, so when you're deeply connected to something, the negative reaction is also much more powerful. So the Baskel tells Elisha ben Avuya, Shuvu bonim shevavim. He's talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're my child. You're my child. Of course I want you to come back. Du bist ben, you're my kid. You're my child. You never want to be alienated from your child. God willing, one day you'll be fathers. And if you're a healthy, functional father, there's nothing you won't do to avoid alienation from a child, estrangement from a child. You'll tell me there's fathers who alienate children. Unfortunately, they're dysfunctional. A father goes to the greatest length to be close to a child. It's the worst agmas nefesh in the world for a father and a mother to be separated from a child. There's no such pain in the world. The Asr of Tzerebbe says that when Bin Yehud is pleading with Yosef to let Binyamin go, what does he say? He has a father. V'nafshay k'shura b'nafshay. Why didn't he say he has 10 kids at home? Binyamin had 10 kids at home. So Rabbi Chiel made of a strof to the Meir Eini Chachamim says, because you can't compare the pain of a father losing a child to even children losing a father. Not to chalila delegitimize or underestimate the pain of somebody losing a father, but what he means to say is that Yehuda chose this over that. So the Baskel was saying, Elisha ben Avuya, you're my child. Shuvu bonim shayvavim. Chutz me'acher. Let go of your perception of yourself as an acher. You decided a few years ago that you're an acher, you're an alien, you're a stranger, you're a foreigner. You don't belong to the koima shleima of Knesset Yisrael. You don't belong to the Shechina. You're not part of this people. Chutz me'acher, take your self-definition of acher and leave it outside. Who are you? You are my child. This was Yosef's talent. Yosef Hashem li bein acher. What was Yosef's skill? He could turn an acher into a ben. What did Elisha ben Avuya hear? You know what he heard? He didn't hear chutz me'acher. You know what he heard? Chutz me'Elisha ben Avuya. Because in his mind, acher and Elisha ben Avuya became synonymous. He was the acher. He couldn't distinguish between the two. The Bavli tells us what was said. The Yerushalmi tells us what he heard. And in life, let me tell you a good rule to know. What you say and what people hear you say is usually never the same thing. You'll be married one day. What you tell your wife and what your wife heard you say will never match. And if it does, you're lucky. And the same the other way. What we say and what people hear us say doesn't work together. You know why? Because what I hear you say has nothing to do with what you said. It has to do with what I'm capable of hearing at this moment in my life. What he heard in his life was, I am the acher. He didn't hear chutz me'acher. He heard chutz me'Elisha ben Avuya. I don't want you. The Baskel didn't say, I don't want you. The Baskel said, I don't want your acher. I want you. But you're not an acher. You're a child. That's what the Baskel said. If so, come back to Ki'imcha Aslicha Laman Tivare. It's all in that pasuk. You forgive so that you should be feared. And here I tell you a mashal, a fascinating mashal from the Baal HaTanya. He says as follows. I'll use modern terminology simply to apply it to our life, but the mamash, the whole mashal is this. Imagine, 2008, there's a major recession in the United States. You took out a loan from a bank for $40 million. You're building condominiums in downtown Manhattan. You're going to make $200 million. There's a crash. There's a recession. You're left with a loan of $40 million with interest. Nobody's buying your condominiums because nobody can afford it. So now you have to pay back every month millions of dollars and you have nothing. All your money went into the investing to build it. Now you can't sell it. What do? So you make a meeting with the manager of the bank. So you sit down with him and he looks at you and he says, listen, you're supposed to pay every month $4.5 million. You already defaulted 2 months. So therefore, to next week, Monday, I want from you $8 million. And every month I want this and this amount of money until you pay back every penny with interest. Now you don't have $20 in your account. And you're supposed to bring by next Monday $8 million. So what do you do? What do? You go home and you take a drink. You laugh it off. It doesn't even begin. Fine. There's nothing to do. It's so not together. It's so not shaykh to pay back. You just give up. So he'll take you to court. He'll take you. Hopefully the court case will schlep zechais for 20, 30, 40 years. At some point somebody will die. It'll work. As we say in the Valetziyah, mekablin dein min dein v'amrin kaddish. You make halva, you mekabel. Somebody will say kaddish, it will be good. But you don't even begin to worry. Why? What are you going to worry about? What are you going to worry? I tell you, tomorrow I want $25 million. Shine. You're going to have a sleepless night. What's going to help you? It's not beged. It's not shaykh. But what happens if he's a mensch? He calls you and he says, listen, I got to bite the bullet. You got to bite the bullet. We both got to bite the bullet. First of all, forget the interest. Second of all, I realize I have to cut off a little bit of the loan. Now tell me what you can do and pay up as much as you can. I'll meet you halfway. You meet me halfway. He says, ah, now you got to be afraid. Now you got to pay up. Now you got to be afraid. Ki imcha aslicha leman tivare. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo would come to a person and say, listen, I want impeccable, flawless perfection. Shine. Do what you want. Knock yourself out. Shine. You want to fry me? Fry. Fry more. Fry more. Put in some barbecue sauce. Becomes irrelevant. You give up on yourself. You give up on the world. It's not shaykh. Ki imcha aslicha. Says, no, I know you. Let's work together. Ki hu yada yitzreinu. Oh, leman tivare. Now you already have to have yira. Now you have to be accountable. Now he says, I'm meeting you halfway, but I need you to be accountable. He says, leman tivare, now you have to be accountable. But it goes one step deeper. Ma mikve metayeres atmeyim. And this is the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. And it's all in the two words, es atmeyim. Why? There's a Mishnah Maseches Brachos. Very interesting discussion. You all know there's tumas that impact a person for 7 days minimum. Tumas ziva, tumas meis. I can't just go to the mikveh and become tar. Other tumas, it's 1 day. A balkeri. Somebody has an emission of sea, they go to the mikveh. Harif shemesh. Nightfall, they're tar. Ba'a shemesh v'tar. It's 1 day, that's it. You have to wait till nightfall, Harif Shemesh. But other tumas is 7 days. Now you all know Tfilas Ezra instituted that a Jew is not allowed to daven say Krishna till he goes to the mikveh in the morning if he is a balkeri. If he emitted seed. Okay, later they were mavatal Tfilas Ezra because the tzibur couldn't deal with it. Einat tzibur yichalim lamed bay. But that was Tfilas Ezra. So Chazal asked this question. Let's say somebody is tamei meis. He touches a corpse. How long is he tamei for? At least 7 days, and you need Efer Parah, and you need Mikveh. Tumas Ziva, at least 7 days, and sometimes you need a carbon. But what happens if in the middle of these 7 days, he becomes a Balkeri? Okay? Should he go to the Mikveh or not? On one level, on one hand, you could say, it's worthless, why should he go to the Mikveh? You're coming out of the Mikveh, you're still tamei. You got 7 days to go. So you're not becoming Tahir from the Mikveh, because you have a much bigger tumah that the Mikveh won't deal with. So do you say, go to the mikveh? Chazal said, of course go to the mikveh. Ah, you still have tumas ziva, tumas meis? Okay, that you'll deal with. But right now, at least the mikveh eliminated the smaller tumah for this day. So you could do whatever you have to do, krishma, tefillah, and so forth. Ah, you remain tumah after the mikveh? That's fine. Another tumah, but this tumah was taken away. This is what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Where do you see it? Two words, esat meyam. And here is where we learn pshat in the Mishnah correctly. Ma mikveh metayer es hatmeyim. How does everybody learn? A mikveh is metayer, those who are tamei, and the mikveh makes them tar. No. Ma mikveh metayer es hatmeyim. Just like a mikveh is metayer, those who are tamei, and remain tamei after the mikveh. But nonetheless, the mikveh is metayer for the smaller tumah. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Metayeres Yisrael in the same way. This is a chiddush. And I'll tell you why it's a chiddush. A Jew comes to Hashem Erev Rosh Hashanah, Chafhei Elul, Chavav Elul, says, listen, God, I'm not ready for a do-over. Sorry. It's not happening. I'm not transforming my life. I don't have koyach. I don't have time. I don't have energy, I don't have time, I'm not interested. But there's one thing that sits on me. There's one thing that sits on my chest, and I want to come clean. You might think, Hashem says, listen, either you're ready to come clean all the way, or get out of my life. V'haraya, that's what people would do. Imagine you borrow from me $75,000 for an investment. You're supposed to pay back Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shin Ayin Zayin. I call you Erev Rosh Hashanah, I say, nu. You say, Loi hayu dvarim me'olam. What's your name? Somebody asked me, the Rashba says, Minig Mevatel Halacha. So how do you know Minig Mevatel Halacha? I said, it's Pashut. The Halacha is when you borrow money, you have to pay back. The Minig is you don't pay back. Because the Charayim, Minig Mevatel Halacha. So the guy says, Lahadam. Erev Yom Kippur, you come running to me. And you say, you know, 75,000, no. But $5,000 I taka owe you. Here's $5,000, you meichel. A normal person says, get out of here. Either you're going to be real and authentic, you want to make a payment, stop draying a cup with me. Stop hacking the chinik, stop playing games. You're real or you're fake? Don't start telling me five yet. You all, you know what you owe me. You may think, you come to Hashem, you say, listen, I'm not dealing with my whole life, but there's one issue sitting on me. That's what I want to clean up. Hashem might say, we don't play games. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. It's your father. And let's say a child is alienated from the father. And they go out and they meet in a restaurant on Amsterdam Avenue after not talking to each other for 2.5 years. And you sit down with your father and you say, Tati, I have a lot of issues with you. But I'm not bringing them up now. There's one thing I want to apologize for. One thing. And your father says, one thing? Either you apologize for 39 things, as I once heard a father tell a son, based on how much I invested in you from when you were born, you owe me $350,000, Pampers, and he went through everything, the bottles, and the pacifiers, and the formula. He says, it's a cheshbon of $350,000. Either you ask mechila for everything, or get out. A father doesn't do this, you know why? There's one thing in which we could connect, we connect. Amar Reb Akiva Ashreichem Yisrael! Lifnemi atem etarim, who's cleansing you? Avichem sheba shamayim. Ma mikveh metayres atmeyim. Are you going to remain tamei after the mikveh? Okay. You got to deal with that. But it doesn't take away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayres Yisrael. Why? Because it's avichem sheba shamayim. It's one of the two great mistakes that people make in life. And I'm going to say, especially our youth today. Especially Talmidei Yeshiva. Jews are very hard on themselves. Let's face it, for a reason. There's a reason we're hard on ourselves. Somebody asked me the definition of a Jew, and I said if he doesn't feel guilty, he blames himself. That's how it is. They say in a kosher restaurant, the waiter goes from table to table and wants to know, is anything all right? That's how it is. We're a nation that is hard on ourselves. But people make two mistakes, especially when it comes this time of the year. Mistake number one, you look in the mirror and you call yourself an acher. You look in the mirror and you call you, and you have reasons for it. Because you know yourself better than anybody knows yourself. You know yourself in a way that your mashgiach doesn't know you, b'mechila. Your Rosh Yeshiva doesn't know you. Your parents may not know you. Maybe your shrink doesn't even know you so well. You know yourself. You look in the mirror psychologically, and you say, I'm an acher. I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger, I'm an alien. I don't experience all those madregas that I heard in all the Musar Shmuism. I don't feel for it, I don't care. I know there were people screaming, B'maytsoye menucha. They say there was a starke litvak, he came to the amshin of a Rebbe. You know, but in a Rebbe, there's no night, there's no day, there's no Sunday, there's no Tuesday. And he says, how do you deal with B'maytsoye menucha? She says, the same way you deal with Zoychalim V'royadim. The same thing. So you understand, Zoychalim V'royadim, Maher Zoychalim, they say that Beis Halevi woke up Reb Chaim early, Slichas, the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. He was a little kid. Come to Slichas. 5 minutes, I want you dressed. He comes back, he's under the blanket, sleeping like that kid knows how to sleep in an Eastern European Elul Dika morning. So the Beis Halevi tells him, Chaim, Slichas afilo the fish in Vasa Tziterin. Slichas, even the fish in the water tremble from the Yom Adin. So Reb Chaim tells his father, the Beis Halevi, if the fish were wrapped up in a blanket, sleeping in a comfortable bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, they also would not tremble for the Yom Adin. Okay. That's how one brisker gets back at another brisker. I was just at a conference with Rabbi Rakefet. You know Rabbi Aaron Rakefet? From the Rosh Koilel, you guys know who I'm talking about? So I heard from him, I love the story, that when Herzl died in 1904, so Reb Chaim was the Rav of Brisk. So he got up and he made a gzeir that no shul in Brisk is allowed to make a hesped for Herzl. Because Reb Chaim was very anti-Zionistic, Zionism. No shul is allowed to make a hesped for Herzl. Menachem Begin came from Brisk and his father came from Brisk. Menachem Begin and his father were strong Zionists. But Reb Chaim said, you don't make a hesped, you can't go against the Rav. So what did Begin's father do? He opened up a new shul in Brisk that day, and he made a hesped there. So they came to him and they said, how could you rebel against the Rav? So he said, the chalois of the gzeira was only on the shuls that existed, b'shas the gzeira. But the shuls that existed after the gzeira, there was no chalois. So I told Rabbi Kefas, that's how one brisket gets back at another brisket. Okay, not bad. You got to appreciate the truth is, it's totally in the machloikis of the Ran and the Rashba and the Dorim. If you make a neder, no, really, if you make a neder that you're not going to have anof from the people of the city, and if a new citizen comes to the city, if he's that part of that neder, it's a big machloikis of Rishonim, Masachas and the Dorim. That was the machloikis between Reb Chaim and Menachem Begin's father, perhaps. But I'm telling you, you look in the mirror, you say, I'm not Zoichalim, I'm not Royadim, I know who I am, I'm an Acher. Especially when you read books and you start feeling guilty. You start feeling guilty, I don't have this, I don't feel, you don't feel. That's a big mistake people make. Do we have parts in us that are uninterested? Of course we do. That's part of the human condition. But the greatest mistake is to call yourself an Acher. You're not an Acher, you're a child. Do you have Acher in you? Of course. Chutz mei Acher. You have to be able to identify and say, okay, the Acher is not my essence. It's not my holy metzius. It exists. Don't become a neurotic because of it. There are three types of Jews. Neurotics, psychotics, and psychiatrists. The neurotic builds castles in the air. The psychotic lives in the castles. And the psychiatrist collects the rent from both of them. Don't become an erratic. You have an Acher. That's one mistake people make. Don't make that mistake. You're a child, you're not an Acher. Second mistake people make is, it's everything or nothing. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael. Life doesn't work that way. It's not everything or nothing. It doesn't work that way. That's why he can't bring the Pasuk. Ki bayoyim azei echaper aleichem l'tayir eschem. You know why? What does it say in that Pasuk? Mikoil chato yiseichem. He can't bring that Pasuk. He brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Mikveh! A mikveh is metayin even though you became tomei. You remain tomei. We don't say the mikveh is worthless. Why are you going to the mikveh? You're such a low life. You're so dirty. Why are you going to the mikveh? You're going to be dirty after the mikveh. We don't say that. There's something you have to fix after the mikveh. Fine, you have to fix it. So what? Does the mikveh accomplish a moed dekazach? Of course! It's not a relationship of black and white. It's a relationship between a father and a child. Between a mother and a child. Now at last, we come to the Rishon L'Cheshben Avoimus. And here we have a vart of the Kedusha Slavery of Levi Yitzchak of Baditchev. And he says as follows. You really have to hug him for this vart. You have to hug the Baditchev for this vart. Yeminoi techapkeini. He says, the Gemara says in Yumid Af Peivav, and who said it? The Baal Tshuva in Gemara, Resh Lakish. This Tshuva Meir and Tshuva Meyava. This Tshuva out of fear. This Tshuva out of love. Tshuva Meir takes your Avedis, all your Zdoinis, and makes them Shgogas. It's mistakes. Tshuva Meyava takes your Zdoinis and makes them Zachias, makes them Mitzvahs. Now that's a Chiddush. Take the Averis and make the mitzvahs. So a Jew who does tshuva out of love, all the sins are transformed into mitzvahs. What's the Hagdara? The Marsha says there in Yuma, Lo yehei choyte nisker. A guy sins and he gets many more mitzvahs than a tzaddik. Because all of his Averis become mitzvahs. They say, Taka de Baditcheva saw a Yid smoking on Yom Kippur. And he said, I'm mekana you. Because if you do tshuva, how many mitzvahs are you going to have? He says, next year, come back, you'll be mekana me even more. You understand how cynical he was. He did tshuva at the end, but the cynicism. What's the Hagdara? The pshat is, there's nothing like the lessons that are learned from mistakes. I don't know how many of you are familiar with recovery. There's nothing like people who are in recovery. People who hit rock bottom. They broke their lives and they have to work through their darkness. There's a depth, there's a sincerity, there's an authenticity that comes only from making mistakes. Hemingway said, life breaks all people, but some people know how to live in broken places better than others. He didn't, he committed suicide. But the insight is an important insight. It's sad, but that's what happened to Hemingway. He killed himself. He was a brilliant writer, but he killed himself. It was very sad. Very sad. He couldn't deal with depression. Not simple. I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. This is very deep tragedy of the human condition. Deep people are sometimes very broken. But there's nothing like rebirth that happens from mistakes. Because the appreciation that a sick person has for health when they become healthy is unparalleled. I once heard from Elie Wiesel, who just passed away 3 months ago, and he said, there's nobody who has as much as gratitude as we, the survivors. We take nothing for granted. When we see a child playing safely in the street, we don't take it for granted. I know there was a Yid in Borough Park. He would stand on 13th Avenue for an hour in the morning, watch the buses picking up the kids, the boys and the girls. So they thought he's a little senile. He's standing as a glump, looking at the buses. So they once asked him what he's doing. So he says, for a person who saw hundreds and thousands of children being marched into the gas chambers in Auschwitz, my greatest revenge against Hitler is to stand here in the morning and watch hundreds of kids giggling and going up on the bus with their tzitzis and their yarmulkes and so forth. People who went through pain, their appreciation of the other side is unparalleled. Zdoinois nasa like ezachias, why? Because the ava Hashem, the appreciation of truth that you come, only because you messed up so badly, is much deeper. So therefore the sin itself is retroactively redefined as a mitzvah. Why? Because when a person does tshuva meyava, the avera itself becomes the catalyst, the springboard that gives fuel, it gives much more momentum to the ava. That's tshuva meyava. Says the Hilkabaditshuva. What's the difference between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is the b'china of Yom Hadin. Smoiloi tachas l'roishi. Sukkot is the b'china of Simcha. Yeminoi techapkeni. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people do tshuva meyire. But Sukkot, people do tshuva meyav. B'meila, what happens with tshuva meyire? The sins get obliterated. What happens with tshuva meyav? The sins get transformed into mitzvahs. So how does Torah define Sukkot? Rishon l'cheshben avoinus. Why Rishon l'cheshben avoinus? The first day of Sukkot, Hashem says, give me all the avedas. Let's count them up. Because what Sukkot accomplishes is the transformation of your mistakes. The transformation of crisis into opportunity. Of challenge into a whole new efshorius in life. So what happens on Sukkot? Rishon l'cheshben avoinus. And I'll leave you. You want to see how precise this is in Minhag Yisrael and in Halacha? Look at the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. What's the Minhag Rosh Hashanah? What do? Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, we go to Tashlich. What's Tashlich? The Sashlich b'metzulois yom kol chatoisim. You take your sins and you throw them into the water. However you explain what that means, how exactly you throw sins into the water, is another shaila. They say that Melech of Lezhensk went to Tashlich, and when he left, one of the chassidim jumped into the river. So they said, what are you doing? He says, Achvil abistel from the Rebbe's Avedis. I want a little bit of my Rebbe's sins. So somebody did a twist on that in the modern day, without names, and he said that something like that happened, and a lot of people jumped in, and the Gabbai says, you don't have to push, there's enough for everybody. Okay, that's just a joke. But not a bad joke. A Rav called me and he said that he doesn't have enough enough brachas for a chuppah. He has to give kibbudim. He only has 7 brachas. I said, do what I do. He says, what do you do? I said, I give out al chetz. You just have to match up the right one to the right person, but then you have enough kibbudim for everybody. And he didn't like my advice. I don't know why. Probably he thought he won't get paid for Siddur Kiddushin. Maybe he'll get sued. So what do you do on Rosh Hashanah? You take your sins, you throw it into the water. You cast it into the water. Okay, done. What happens Sukkos? What's the simcha of Sukkos? Simcha's Beis HaShayeva. What they do on Sukkos? They used to go to the water, and what would they do? They took water, they brought it back to the Beis HaMikdash, they poured it. Why'd they go back? Ah. On Rosh Hashanah, you threw away your mistakes. On Sukkos, you reclaim your mistakes. On Sukkos, you go back into the water, you get back your sins. Rishon Lechesh ben Avoyinis, and it becomes part of the Mizbeach. Because in life, ultimately, you have to remember this. The Baal Shem Tov said, Rishoyim Aleim Charotas. Rishoyim are filled with regrets. You know why? Because they don't realize that God is with them always. And therefore, they blame everything on themselves. If they would realize that so many decisions they made in life was really Hashem's decision, they wouldn't feel so regretful. So ultimately, a Jew comes to realize that ultimately every mistake, every sin, every downfall is an opportunity for unprecedented growth. In China, the character that they use for crisis is the same character they use for opportunity. Maybe that's why they survived 5,000 years. Of course, the Chinese food helped. In Lashon Kodesh, it gets better. The word that we use for a breakdown is mashber. Shvira, shvarim. It's the same word that we use for a birthing stool. A birthing stool. Because every shvira is essentially a hachana for a new tkiya. A good keben shdorak, suvach simetoyva, thank you. I